I'd like to go to ancient Corinth. I mean, travel back in time and go to ancient Corinth, and I'd like to go to one of their church services because I think it would have been a very, very interesting experience. I mean, the letters to the Corinthians are a big chunk of the New Testament, right? So lots of what we know about the church comes from there. And we can kind of infer some things from that. If Paul actually spends a long time writing about orderliness in worship, we can be pretty sure that there was disorderliness in worship. So I would have loved to have gone and seen what that was like, to try and understand more about what Paul was saying about the way we worship and about the life of the church, really. Corinth was a big town, you see. It was perhaps the second most important city in Greece. And it was a port city, and like many port cities around the world, there was lots of nightlife and lots of action there. And so it was a pretty freewheeling, entrepreneurial place. And Paul had gone there on his second missionary journey, and he was there perhaps in the year 49 or 50 AD. And he had a successful ministry there. He planted the church there. And he was there for about 18 months. And it was there that he met his co-workers, Priscilla and Aquila, who would be part of his life and part of his ministry from then on. So we do well to try and hear what Paul is saying in this church, saying to this church, and to understand what was happening. One of the things we do know is that Paul struggled to assert his authority on the church. Remember, at this stage, the church is only 20 years old, right? And they're making it up as they go along. They have no model to copy. They're working out what it means to be the church. And we know from some other chapters in the Corinthians that Paul had to work very hard to get them to hear him, to get what he was saying. And so he tells them something very important here. And he talks about this idea of us being co-workers in God's service. He says, you're God's field, God's building, co-workers with God. He says it's not about Apollos. Apollos apparently had been another teacher who had come to the church and had a very successful ministry there. And in some ways was more gifted, it would appear, than Paul was. But Paul says it's not about Apollos. It's not about me. Earlier it says it's not about Peter either. It's not about following people. He says, and this is literally in the Greek, he says, God's we are, being fellow workers, God's field, God's building. The subject of this sentence is God. God's we are, being fellow workers, God's field, God's building. We are all servants. Then Paul uses these analogies of the farm and of building. And he says, the farm is God, the weather is God's, the harvest is God's. The foundation of the building is God's. The building itself is God's. He says at the end, you are God's temple. We need to understand what this means. Back in the 70s, a guy from the States who was a businessman, worked for a company called AT&T, a telco. His name was Robert Greenleaf. And Robert Greenleaf himself was a Quaker. And he wrote this very, very influential book on leadership. And he called it Servant Leadership. Now, that's a term we're familiar with. We hear it a lot, really, particularly in the church. And his wasn't a Christian book. His was written into the business world. It was on leadership in general. But he tried to explain that the best leaders are servant leaders. And what he meant by that was not people who are willing to do humble, menial things. That's often the way we understand it, often the way it's translated. What he meant by that was people served first. That what drove them, that what motivated them, first impulse was to serve the community, to serve a cause, to serve a purpose. And when they were servants first, then because of that responsibility, they led. So it's this idea of turning it around. We lead because we serve. So serving a cause matters. Serving a cause comes first. Well, the question for us is really, what cause do we serve? What cause do you serve? What cause do I serve? Is it possible in a church to have other agendas, to actually be serving something other than God? Is it possible to have other priorities? Do sometimes we serve our needs? Do we serve our own agenda? Sometimes do we even serve our own pride? You see, Paul says, we've all been given different tasks. We all have different gifts. But we are co-workers or if you like, co-servants. It's not about loyalty to a leader. It's not about loyalty to a denomination. All of those things are always subservient to the idea that gods we are. I must confess, when I read that, it sounds a bit like Yoda, doesn't it, right? Because the sentence is kind of the wrong way around. Gods we are. And maybe we should put that on another T-shirt. I said a few weeks ago we should have a T-shirt with alive under God through Christ. Well, here's your second T-shirt. Gods we are. Gods we are. And we need to remember that. People older than me are often called, people my age and older, are often called boomers, and people from the generation before are called the builders. It's a way of describing a generation, describing the characteristics. One of the things about the builders in particular is that they're famous for their loyalty to institutions, their loyalty to denominations, their loyalty to clubs, to societies. They were joiners. They joined and remained. They were loyal. People younger than me are often called Gen X, and younger, again, are called millennials. And we know some of the characteristics about those generation too. And they're loyal, but in a different way, because institutions don't really matter to them, nor do denominations, in a sense. What matters to younger people today is relationship and authenticity. So they are loyal to people. They're loyal to people they trust. The difference is they're not loyal to the office. They're not loyal to, if you like, a core officer just because he's the core officer or she's the core officer. They're loyal to the person. And there's a danger in both of these, you see. If our first priority is the institution, if we say I'm a child of the regiment and I'm loyal to the army, and that's what matters most. Or if we're a younger person, we say, I'm loyal to this person and I follow this leader. And if that's our highest priority, we're missing out on something. Gods we are. Our loyalty is to God. It is He whom we serve. I remember first hearing this idea. We were very fortunate when we were training college. We had a good and godly man, Colonel Graham Durston, as our training principal. And remember, he spoke on this very issue, and he talked about being a corps officer. And whenever he'd been a corps officer, he'd never talked about my people, my ministry, as if he owned it. You see, there's a difference between belonging and ownership. We can say, this is my church, with this sense of belonging, that I belong here, that I have a place here. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's wrong. But sometimes we can say in ministry, we can say in the church, this is my space, this is my program, this is my ministry, with this sense of ownership. And that's not what it's about. Gods we are, you see. We serve God, our first loyalty to Him. And it's not an abdication of leadership to say that. Gods we are. And this should reorder our priorities, you see. We know that Christians sometimes say and do silly things, and they promote and live out a worldly wisdom that doesn't really reflect God. And one day, when we meet Him, we'll see that we wasted so much of our time, that we spent time building the toolbox rather than building the building. Some of us have invested enormous amounts of time in getting our own way. And we say it's for the church, but really it's about us. So we must ask ourselves the question, whom do we serve? It's kind of the Mary and Martha story, you know, from the Gospels. We can have our energy focused in the wrong place, and we miss out on what is most important. We are all servants. In fact, we are co-servants, and we serve God. That's our first priority, even above serving each other. So are you a greeter when we normally have worship? Are you a greeter, a musician, a tech person, an encourager, a prayer warrior, a preacher, a ministry leader? You serve God when you do so. First of all, you serve God, not the community. We have to remember that. And it also helps us, you see, when our service seems menial and when our service seems unrewarded, when people don't say thanks. We don't serve so that people will say thank you. We serve God. We serve God. God's we are. But it also appears it doesn't just matter how we serve or what we serve. It's not about doing anything for Jesus. Did you notice that part that Iwe read to us? It talks about building with gold and silver, with precious materials. And other people build with straw and with hay. And I remember reading this a long time ago, and I was struck by this idea about different rewards in heaven. And there's a question I used to ask Bible study groups, you know, will there be different rewards in heaven? What does it mean that some build with gold and silver and some with hay or straw? And lots of people have speculated about what this means, really. And it was one of the few bits of scripture that was actually used to justify the Catholic doctrine of purgatory. But I think I was asking this question for a long time the wrong way. And we shouldn't ask it as a philosophical or speculative question, if you like. I think if we do, we miss the meaning. Because in practice, we know what this means. You see, we know them, don't we? The people whose lives have been gold. There's some who so thoroughly lived out and served the gospel. People whose lives have been precious, of precious materials, who served others, who served alongside others, all for God's glory. And the truth is, we've also known Christians whose lives have sometimes been straw. We've met Christians who've disregarded others. They've had other agendas, often for their own glory, for their own pride. Perhaps you and I have been both at different times. Sometimes building with gold, sometimes building with straw. Now this is not about salvation. Paul specifically says that. He says they'll still be saved, right? They'll still be saved. That, after all, is the miracle of grace, right? We don't earn our way into heaven. But I do wonder, will everybody hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Does everybody hear that, truly? I mean, we say it all the time, but do we all hear that? To some of us, will God say, "You did okay"? You see, Paul is calling the church at Corinth to understand something very, very important. That as a people of God, they're called to live out this gold standard, to live precious lives, costly lives, offered to God. Our call as a community is to understand, to believe, to live as God's, and to serve as a people who say God's we are is joy. It restores us. It puts our lives into perspective. It releases us from foolish comparisons, from useless pride, and it changes the character of a community. You see, we work together. We work as equals. And our work is God's work for His glory. Some years ago now, Colonel Doug Clark gave me a journal article about evangelism. It was a great article. And the writer was saying, often we talk about what evangelism is. And if you read a textbook on evangelism, they'll go back to the New Testament and they'll unpack the Greek word and they'll say, here's the theory of what evangelism is. And he said, but in one sense, that doesn't matter. We need to ask ourselves, what is evangelism? And he said, for most of us, in real terms, it is inviting someone to church. 90% of the time, for most of us, we're shy people, right? It's hard to talk about the gospel. So most of the time, in real terms, evangelism is inviting someone to church. Come along to my church. See what you think. And his point was that if that's evangelism, churches should be pictures of the kingdom. When people come to church, they should experience joy. They should be places of joy. They should be places where the gold is easily seen, you see. Where they see people who love and serve, and they serve God first. They serve a cause bigger than themselves. They serve alongside each other, co-workers in Christ. God's we are. And that should be an anthem of joy. So I want us to pray. We're going to sing a song we've heard before, a Awake my soul. And I love this song because it is an anthem of joy. It reminds us of that calling that God has placed upon our lives. This idea that we are to live lives, precious lives of gold. We work together. We work as equals. And our work is God's work for His glory. Let's pray. Let's experience the joy of God as we sing this song together.